Good morning. Wow, I was a little tentative, and so were you. It's good to see everybody this morning. I hope that we all got the clocks changed appropriately and there were no surprises this morning. I know when I went outside, it was nice and warm and the sun was shining and it was just a beautiful day. And then my alarm clock went off and the reality of life came flooding back in, and it's good to see each and every one of you here this morning. A couple of things that are occurring in the life of the church. We are doing a church directory, and we're doing it in-house. We're not having a professional photographer come in and try and sell you stuff. What we're saying is just in the choir room, we have set up a digital camera, and Joby is over there. I'll be there before and after the services in the month of March. Just take your family or your spouse or yourself over there and get a picture taken. Remember, it's going to be in the directory, and our pictures are large. They are 1.25 by 1. They'll be in the directory. Would encourage you, if you're part of the congregation, you don't have to be a member of our congregation, but if this is where you're worshiping, we want you to be part of our directory. And so on the Welcome Center are some little half sheets of paper for names, addresses, phone numbers, that kind of stuff that we can put in the directory so that we can kind of learn each other's names and where we live and all that good stuff. Get that put together. We are anticipating that we will have the new directories finished for Palm Sunday. We'll be able to do that if we get all the pictures and the names and the addresses prior to that. So we need to for that to happen. You can sign up for an appointment. You can just go over and check it out as well. Or digital cameras are pretty prevalent. If you want to take your own picture and send it to us, you can do that too. You can bring it on a jump drive. You can email it. Remember, it is going to be this big. So it's not like it needs to be a 10 megapixel whatever. Just get us a copy. If it's not clear, we'll let you know and we can do something about that. But the directory, looking forward to getting that put together. Also, we're having classes. If you're interested in membership, taking the class doesn't mean you have to become a member, but it's kind of learning a little bit about who we are and how we function. And then if you'd like to become a member after that, the opportunity will be there. We'll be accepting new members on Palm Sunday. And so keep that in mind. Also, if you're interested in being baptized, we have an individual that has come and said they would like to be baptized, and so we're opening that up. If you would like to be baptized, please stop in and see me or give me a call, and we'll be able to put that together as well. Two things, Bright Light Players, the last performance is this afternoon at 2:30, and so if you haven't got to see this play based on Pilgrim's Progress, the book, I would encourage you to do so. It was a lot of fun. I've seen it a couple of times, and they do a great job on that, and so keep that in mind, the last showing today at 2:30. Also, we're putting together, very quickly, putting together a daddy-daughter dance. And now the daddy-daughter dance is going to be on March the 26th. There is a sign up there in the Welcome Center and would encourage fathers and daughters to make that a priority. I know some of the planning that's in the background to be able to pull this together, and it looks like it's going to be a really cool evening together on March the 26th. I think other than that, everything is pretty much there and is self-explanatory. We'll say one thing. We're very fortunate to have Stephanie Vance with us this morning. She was going to play two songs, but there's been a minor problem, and so she's only going to do one this morning. So kind of keep that in mind. And there is a misprint in your bulletin. The scripture for this morning is not Matthew 4, 1 through 11. It will be 1 Samuel 24, verses 1 through 7. It's right? How come it was wrong in the bulletin that I got? Okay. The scripture that's printed in the bulletin is correct. In the order of worship, it was last week's. And so anyhow, we'll get to the right spot anyway, but wanted to make you aware of that as well. So, as we continue in our worship this morning, is there any prayer requests that need to be made known? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, as we have gathered together in this place, we welcome you here. Lord, we ask that you would come and speak to our hearts and build us up, for the world we live in is so full of troubles and difficulties. And Lord, we're reminded of the fight, the war in Ukraine and Russia. And Lord, we just ask that you would save people's lives. And we just don't understand and so many questions. And we just ask you to be with the people there. Lord, watch over them. Be with the aid workers and everyone involved. Our hearts just cry out for those folks. And we also think within our own country and the cold weather and this cold snap we're going through even right now, and there are those without shelter. And Lord, we ask you to be with them. And Lord, just have your hand upon them and guide and direct. And continue to walk with us. And Lord, we have struggles on our hearts and things that weigh us down. And Lord, we want to hand them over to you. And Lord, we give them to you and ask that your will would be accomplished. But we also understand that Lord, there is much to be done. And so Lord, just guide and direct our path and draw us closer to you, that we might see you at work and follow you. And Lord, just continue to work with us. Lord, to make ways and to be there even when we're not. And so, Lord, just continue to walk with us. We ask that this would be a time that's uplifting, that joy would flood our hearts because we've come into contact with you. And, Lord, that our relationship, our fellowship one with another would build one another up and give us hope that, Lord, we might take you into our daily lives and live for you forever. Lord, just continue to be with and watch over us. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Going to give you the opportunity to say hi to the folks that are around you this morning. We're going to have our hand of fellowship. Now, that might mean shaking hands. It might mean bumping fists or elbows, high-fiving, or merely going. But let's take a couple of minutes and say hello to one another.
Good morning. I invite you to stand, and we'll start our time of singing together. The two songs we're singing this morning, we're going to do them both together, like one after the other, so be prepared. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. May in your ear. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, blessed is now.
Kids want to come on down. We're going to kind of do things out of order today because it's fun. Oh, the bench. Awesome. Now I'm stuck. Now, children's sermon, right? That's what we're doing now? What? Oh, here we go. I knew I had something. Now, do you know what these are? A knife? It could be. What? Yeah, it's keys. You could have a knife on there. Actually, they do have that. But they're keys. And what do we do with keys?
Unlock.
We unlock things. It could be a door. It could be a box where we put, I don't know, our change, our money. It could be a place where we lock up our diary. It could be doors to enter a building. There's just all kinds of things that we use keys for. Now, I want to know, the Bible talks about the key to our heart. Which one of these would be that? None of them. Because I thought, wow, fun. I thought when I was your age that you would take a key and you'd put it right in your belly button and it would unlock your heart. But that's not how it works, is it? No, but we do have our hearts. And when we talk about our hearts, we talk about who we are, the essence. Yeah, that's a great word. I knew that when I was six. It talks about who we really are down deep inside. What makes us the individual that we are, our hearts. And when we give our hearts to somebody, it means we care for them deeply. Like, in a sense, we give our hearts to our parents because they care for us and they watch over us and they love us deeply and we can trust them, so they have keys to our hearts. God says that he would like a key to our heart as well, that we would be willing to trust him so that he can talk to us, and he talks to us through our hearts. So this morning I'd like us to think about who has keys to our heart, and have we given one of those keys to God that he can talk with us and guide us and direct us? So let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we like you. It seems as though you're safe. It seems as though you love us a lot, and that's really cool, and we want to love you back. So Lord, help us to understand just how much you care for us. And Lord, when the day comes and we want to give you a key to our hearts, we ask, Lord, that you would be there and hear our prayers and draw close to us to be that which we trust with who we are. Lord, watch over us. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay. Let's just have a prayer for the folks in Ukraine. Let's bow our heads. Our Father and our God, we don't understand everything, but we know that you do. But Lord, from where we stand, it sure seems like a Russian aggressor is attacking Ukraine. And Lord, we ask that you would be with the people there. Lord, that your hand would be upon them. Lord, that you would keep them safe and out of harm's way. Assist the refugees as they attempt to flee, that you would grant them safe travel. And Lord, we know that it's winter there as well, and the coldness on top of it, and just everything that's occurring, it churns our hearts. And we ask, Lord, that you would be with the people. Lord, help us to understand. And Lord, be with those folks that are there in harm's way. And all these things we ask in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Now, this morning we are enjoying doing things out of order. And I don't see our offering plates, but our deacons are so good that they have those in the back. So they're going to come and receive our offering this morning at this time. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we acknowledge that you are with us, and Lord, that you watch over us each and every day. And Lord, we ask that out of the tremendous blessing that you have given to us, Lord, that we return a portion of it back to you for the continuing of your kingdom. Lord, so watch over us and help us to follow you all the days of our lives, and may your hand of blessing be upon this offering. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun with all of the hiccups and all of the changes that are happening, not only with us as a body of believers and within our congregation, but within the world in which we live. And so many times, all we see is the darkness. All we see are the clouds. It's really hard to see the sun and the stars in the midst of the difficulties that we're in. I had an individual talk to me this past week, and they said, "You've been down a little bit, Pastor." He said, "Some of your spark seems to be kind of shadowed over." And I said, "Well," I said, "yeah, there's been some things in my personal life, and we've shared them before." I said, "But you know what? There's always sunshine. You know, just because there's cloud cover, it doesn't mean the sun has stopped shining. It's still there shining brightly. It's just the clouds are in the road." And we need to understand that in our lives, that the sun continues to shine. God continues to love us, even though there's difficulties. Came to the conclusion this past week as I thought about my father-in-law and the difficulties, that if his house wouldn't have caught on fire and he would have taken that fall, no one would have been there to help him. What might have happened to my father-in-law? But his house burned down and he was with us. And so he got the care that he needed, and he continues to do better and better. So there's celebration in the midst, but sometimes it's really hard to see the good parts because of the clouds that we face every day. And we're walking through the tested in the wilderness. And this morning I want to talk about being patient in the wilderness. Last week we talked about Jesus, and we talked about when he was in the wilderness. He had fasted for 40 days, and then evil came to tempt him, and how he used the word to kind of shore himself up and shoot away and to push aside the temptations that were coming his way, and that God really does have a plan for us and continues to work with us all along the way. And today, we're going to talk about a different story, but we're going to be talking about being patient in the wilderness. Now, I don't know if that word scares you. It runs fear into the hearts of many. The word
patience.
I mean, because we think about it, Lord, give me patience. Oh, but give it to me 2 years ago so that now it would become full-blown and I wouldn't have to go through all the difficulties of learning it. We hear those stories, I prayed for patience and all I got was difficulties and strife. You know, and we go through all of that, and you know what? I personally think it's a bunch of baloney. What I really think is what we see in God's word, that we are to be patient in the wilderness, and I'm going to talk about that today. But to kind of set us up, we're going to read from 1 Samuel 24, verses 1 through 7. And if you'd like to turn there or follow along in your bulletin or on the screen behind me. Now, to set this up just a little bit, David has been anointed to be king of Israel. The problem is Saul is still alive, and so he's the king. So David is the king to be, but Saul is the king that's currently ruling, and a situation develops, and David is given the opportunity to maybe access the throne. So let's walk through 1 Samuel 24, 1 through 7. After Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines, he was told David is in the desert of En Gedi. So Saul took 3,000 able young men from all Israel and set out to look for David and his men near the crags of the wild goats. He came to the sheep pens along the way, and a cave was there, and Saul went in to relieve himself. And David and his men were far back in the cave. And the men said, "This is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, 'I will give your enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish.'" Then David crept up unnoticed and cut off the corner of Saul's robe. Afterward, David was conscience stricken for having cut off a corner of his robe. He said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lay my hand on him, for he is the anointed of the Lord." With these words, David sharply rebuked his men and did not allow them to attack Saul. And Saul left the cave and went his way. Wow. And I don't know how to phrase that. There Saul was in the cave. David was there. He's close enough to cut the garment that Saul was wearing, yet he cut the corner. He went back and hid with his men in the cave. Even if Saul noticed David and didn't do anything, all he had to do was go outside the cave and wait. Easiest battle ever to win. It's a cave. It's one way out. It's easy. David said that Saul was the anointed one of God to be on the throne. And he was next, but not yet. See, the first thing I want to talk about this morning as far as being patient in the wilderness is that patience gives perspective. You see, we've got to view things through the right lens. And in the story, David chooses to see Paul's pursuit of him through this specific lens. He's anointed, but God was inviting him to wait. It wasn't his perfect timing. So David chose to wait, to be patient, to have the right perspective. So many times in life, we're going through a difficulty and we want it to be fixed. We want things to happen right away. We really aren't into this whole waiting thing. We want it done. It's all Frank Sinatra's fault. He sang the song, "Have It My Way." And McDonald's picked up on it, and all the pickles and lettuce, "Have It Your Way." I mean, and then culture grabbed onto it and said, "We want it not only my way, we want it right away." And even to the place where if I said, if you would take out your cell phones this morning and hold them up in the air, way too many of us would do that. Now, I don't say that because I'm anti-phone, mine sitting on the front pew. But what I am saying is we're used to getting everything quickly. I mean, we grab our phones and Google. I want to know whether Mayfield is still going to be the quarterback of the Browns. I want to know important things. I want to know who won the basketball game. I guess college and all of that. And Akron was playing. I'm sorry, I'm deaf. I should just admit it. But Akron was playing, and I don't know whether they won or lost. But it's part of this. We want to know. We want to know right away. We grab our phones. We hit some numbers. And all of a sudden, the results are there. We want that in every aspect of our life. And we see David, and David has the opportunity to just, all he has to do is a little and done deal. I mean, so quick, so easy, and no one would blame him because he's been anointed the king over Israel. He's just taken his spot. And even his men are saying, "Man, go for it. We're tired of hiding. We don't want to deal with this anymore. Just get it over with and get on the throne." But David knows. David's heart is a heart that the more he struggled, the more he connected to the God that loves him. The more he was able to understand that this was not the place nor the time. His day would come, but that day wasn't here yet. The time wasn't right for him to move forward. Someday God would say yes, but on this day, God had not said yes. God would take Saul's kingdom off of him. David wouldn't have to. And so many times in the life that we live, we want to get ahead of God. We know here's the direction that we're going. We want to get there. And we want it to be there. The problem is all the lessons that we need to be learning between here and there. As David was in the desert with his men avoiding Saul, David was being shaped into the leader that David would need to be when he became king. God had great things in store for him, but it wasn't time yet. I tortured my wife a number of years ago as we were dating, and she knew the time was drawing close that I was going to ask her to marry me. And we were going on a trip from Malone College, and we were going to Niagara Falls. I mean, how good can it be? And so I took a ring box, and I put it in my pocket. And I pulled the ring box out, and I would ask her, "Is it time yet?" We were in a van with 10 other kids, 10 other college. "Nah." So I put it back in my pocket. So I waited a little bit longer at a rest area, and I pulled it out, and I said, "Do you think it's time yet?" And as she looked at the ring, I opened it up. The ring box was empty. It wasn't time yet. I tortured her all day. I'll never forget, though, when the sun went down and the lights were on Niagara Falls and they were changing, and the mist that was coming off, it was just absolutely gorgeous. And the time was right. So many times in our lives, we jump the gun. We get ahead of God. And it's not that bad things happen when we get ahead of God. It's just not as good as it could be. It was so much better with the view of the falls. It was just cool. The other times, she probably would have still said yes, but it wouldn't have been as good. Are we willing to be patient? Are we willing to have that perspective and desire for the good things that God has for us? To get that perspective in the midst of the wilderness. Are we willing to pursue God with all that we are and all that we have? Because that brings us to the second thing that I want to talk about this morning, and that's that patience. For those that are streaming, I've clicked the button and nothing happens. But the second slide is supposed to say, patience requires perseverance. Oh, look at that magic. It's a wonderful thing. Patience requires perseverance. Perspective is what patience give. Perseverance is what patience requires. David didn't walk away from his anointing to be the next king of Israel. He didn't walk away with that. He understood that the time wasn't right. And so he had to persevere through the difficult times in order to have that time, that future opportunity where he would be the king of Israel. Great things lie in our future. It's just not the future yet. And we need to hold the line. We need to stay the course, to hold with perseverance so that the good things can actually happen. So often we want to run ahead. We want to help God. And you know something that I found out in my own life? Every time that I help God, he looks at me and gives me one of these. I remember a commercial from years ago, and those of us that are more seasoned will remember this, and the younger ones, you can Google it. It was two little girls were helping their mom make a shake and bake, you know? And you know, they say that famous line from my generation, you know, it's shake and bake, are we hipped? I mean, it's just one of those wonderful little, okay, my southern impersonation is terrible. I get that. But it's one of those things. The two little girls really probably didn't help at all. It probably took a lot of patience from mom to get to the desired end of having shake and bake chicken, and having the kids help really wasn't all that helpful. And see, I believe that so many times when we jump the gun, we are kind of like those kids. We're just making it hard for God. And if we would just be patient, we would persevere through the difficult times, we'll learn the things that we need to learn, that when the time comes, we'll be ready. I know in my own life, as I look back over the things that God has asked me to do, if he'd have asked them too soon, I'd have run screaming into the night. But because he asked me when the time was right, he had prepared me for that next step. The next step just seemed logical. It was a stretch. But it was like, okay, yeah, that's where we need to go. I'll take that step. That doesn't seem to be too far. And then the next, and then the next, and then the next. But if he told me that I would be preaching here on this Sunday morning in Worcester, Ohio, when I was 16 years old, I'd have probably just cried. It'd have wiped me out. There is no way I could have handled that. There was a lot of preparation that needed to occur to allow me to get to the place where I am today. God did the same thing for David, and God does the same thing for each and every one of us. Sometimes we think, well, Saul and David, you know, their relationship was a little weird. You know, David was really good friends with Saul's son, you know, and you've got that whole thing going on, his son Jonathan, and how over and over, I mean, Saul actually threw a spear at David at one time, tried to kill him. I mean, it's just a long thing. If you read a couple chapters ahead in 1 Samuel 26, again, David is given the opportunity to actually could have easily taken Saul's life, but chose not to because it wasn't the right time. David's perseverance never wavered in knowing what God had called him to do. He was going to be the king of Israel. It just wasn't time yet. You know, we try and teach this to our kids as they grow up, because there's certain things at different ages that you're allowed to do. I mean, a big thing for me was at 12 years old, you could actually go hunting with dad, and that was a big deal. Then at 16 years old, you're able to drive the car, and that was a big deal. At 18 years old, you graduate from high school, and you're out on your own, and you're able to work, and on it goes with all of the various things, and we look forward to that next level, that next thing that we're going to be able to do, but it's all the preparation that needs to come into play so that we're ready to take that step when it gets there. Are we willing to persevere? Willing to do the tough work? Willing to allow God to lead instead of me leading? To give over control to the God that loves us, to be willing to persevere. The last thing this morning is that when patience persists, we will see God's best. I just want to be honest. David was a phenomenal king. He conquered lands. He brought safety to Israel. He expanded the borders beyond what God has promised. He set Israel up to be a great and affluent kingdom that his son Solomon was going to be able to really take to the next level. You see, because he was willing to follow God, God blessed him. And Israel was blessed as a result. And you get to see what God has in store, what's best. I think in the world in which we live, we settle for second best, third best, fourth best, fifth best, sixth best, seventh best, and on it goes. We would rather get it today than get something better tomorrow. We're not accustomed to waiting. We want it now. And it's really not Frank Sinatra's fault or McDonald's. It's not Google's fault. It's really not even a phone in our pocket. It's not the fact that it's easy to grab the phone and Google something. That's not what it is. What it is our hearts haven't been opened enough. We're willing to say, God, I trust you with salvation. And I want to spend eternity with you, and I got that. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think that's phenomenal. I think the guarantee of being with God forever and ever is just, I don't know, it makes my head explode when I begin to think about it. But I think all too often, we're not really ready to give him the keys to our heart. We're not really ready to hand it over for what God's best is. To be able to say, God, here I am. I want more. I see your love, and I want to be able to give that to other people. I want to be able to share that with the world. And I may not know how to do that, but that's still what I want. I want to persevere. I want to keep my eyes fixed on you at all times. And I want to follow you. I want to be a man like David. Now, I may not be king, but I want to be a man after your heart. I want that dynamic. How do I get it? was talking with some folks interested in possibly coming members of our church this morning. And there's a real easy layout. And the real easy layout comes from the book of Romans chapter 12. And I'm going to give it real briefly, but I've got a couple minutes, so I'm going to take them. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it starts out with the word therefore. And when you see a word like therefore, you need to see what it's there for. And what it's there for is the first 11 chapters of the book of Romans talks about all the things that God has done for us. So that therefore is telling us, based on what God has done for us, that we brothers, it's not talking to non-Christians, talking to Christians, and that brothers is the all-inclusive brothers of mankind. So it's saying, therefore, Christians, based on all that God has done, offer yourself, by the mercies of God, offer yourself as a living sacrifice. This is telling us what we need to do to draw close to the God that we love. We need to be a living sacrifice. What does that mean? Well, what it means is we go to God and say, here I am, warts and all. Here I am, blemishes. Here I am. Yeah, I know I've got sin that I need to deal with. Here I am. This is just me, God. Not putting on a front. I'm not painting a smiley face on it. You know my inner thoughts, my inner being. So here I am. I want to be yours. I don't know what that means fully. I know I don't understand a lot of it. But here I am. And God responds and God says, look, I accept you. He said, it's natural for you to want to take another step. This is healthy for you. He says that he'll accept us and that we are wholly sacrificed. It means that we sin, warts and all, when we offer ourselves to God, God looks down and sees us in perfection and wants to scoop us up like a parent to a child. And he scoops us up to draw us close to him. And he says, what happens then when you give yourself to me is there's a change, there's a transformation of your heart, and there is a change in the way your mind works. It's a transforming of your mind. And when we draw close to God, we see how great he is, and he has so much to offer, that the things of the world begin to fade and we desire more of God. And that's exactly what happened to David. He desired more of God, even though he was in the back of a cave. He had been anointed king, but it wasn't time yet. And he was okay with waiting because of his relationship with God. And we draw close to God. We crawl upon that altar of sacrifice. He promises to accept us. He promises to see us as perfect. He scoops us up. He draws us close to him. And he changes us on the inside. And that changing on the inside then results in we will know what God's will is. His perfect, his pleasing, his righteous, his God knows what his best will for our lives will be. So if you want to know God's will for your life, all you have to do is crawl upon the altar of sacrifice and give up. The hard part about that is it sounds easy. I know. Well, just crawl on the altar and give up. But to crawl on the altar and give up is to say, here I am, Lord. And what God begins to do is begins to change our hearts on the inside. And as our hearts change, there's things that happen in the world that we no longer want or need. When I became a dad, I remember people, they had me scared to death to become a dad because they told me all the things I would have to give up because I became a dad. And I liked rock climbing. I liked doing some of the things that I was doing. I didn't want to give them up. And then I became a dad. And they said, hey, do you want to go rock climbing? I said, nah, I'd rather be a dad. You see, when I gave up and said whatever it takes to be a dad, caring for my son and eventually sons was so important that the other stuff faded away, not because I had to give it up, but because I had better things to do. And I enjoy doing those better things. And the same happens in our relationship with God. The things that really aren't good for us, we begin to lose interest in. And the things that are good for us, we begin to gain interest in, which draws us closer to God, which makes Him smile. We begin to understand more and more of who He is. And He changes the desires of our hearts. The desires of our hearts are the things that He wants for us. So I get the freedom to do whatever I want. Y'all looking at me like you don't understand. No, really. I get to do whatever I want because the desires of my heart are the desires that God wants for me. So right now, I'm remodeling a bathroom and it's only taken me 2 years. And I'm having a blast. Don't tell my wife. But really, I get to do what I want because I'm doing what I love. And yes, some of those things are very, very difficult. Some of those things bring tears to my eyes. Some of those things there's at times I wonder if there'll be bare spots in the carpet where I've been banging my head against the altar. Because I know what God wants. It's my will that has to yield and my desire to follow and the fight and the struggle. And we have that. But God says, be patient with me. When the time comes, you'll have what you need. Just walk down the road and be willing to walk. And He'll take us where we need to go. And it'll look like God's lost at times. All it means is that there's something over here that we need, then there's something over here that we need. And we have to go back and forth to get that. God's not lost. He's directing us. It just doesn't look like it to us. But we're getting all the things that we need so that we can know God's best. Are we willing to know God's best? Are we willing to be patient in the wilderness where we think a straight line would lead us right where we need to go, but the quickest way to get to where we want to go often is a windy road to learn the things that God needs for us to learn so that when we get to the end, we'll see God's best and be and experience His best for us. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, We thank You for today. And Lord, we see in David's life as You were with him, You anointed him, You said You're going to be king, but the time is not here yet. And we can learn from that waiting upon You when the time is right is so important. So help us to learn the lessons in the wilderness. Help us to understand that patience, that willingness to stay with You through difficulty and struggle, knowing that the clouds are just shielding the sun, but the sun continues to shine always in our hearts and in our lives. And help us to see You, that we might yield everything to You so that You can guide and direct our path, because we want to know Your best. So come and be part of who we are. Encourage and strengthen us and draw us closer to You. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you please stand and join us in our closing hymn, There Is a Fountain.
with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as be, wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. And there may I, though vile as I, wash all my sins away. Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power. Till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Be saved to sin no more. Be saved to sin no more. Till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. There sits by faith I saw the stream thy flowing wounds supply. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. And shall be till I die. And shall be till I die. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, then in a nobler, sweeter song I'll sing thy power to save. I'll sing thy power to save. I'll sing thy power to save. Then in a nobler, sweeter song I'll sing thy power to save.
As we go from this place, may God's hand continue to be upon us, to guide us, to direct us, to give us hope in the struggles of this world, that we might make it through the wilderness and have God's best. Amen.